Sean and Brooke, a young couple, decided to try the adventure of camping. Of course, they did what most people do when they start out. They went down the camping aisle buying everything they didn't need and forgetting things they probably would be sorry about later. They got the essentials, a plastic egg holder, a snake bite kit, and a combination salt and pepper shaker. And, of course, the basics like a tent and sleeping bags. That weekend, they decided to head out to a local campground about half hour away. After trying to get all their gear packed into a compact car, they showed up, of course, about 2 hours later than check-in. Luckily, they were able to get the last site available.
Brooke, I can't believe it took us another hour of driving around this campsite to find our actual site.
Well, if you'd bothered to grab a site map, this wouldn't have happened. Oh, well. Let's unpack while it's still light out.
Sean and Brooke unloaded their car and spent another 2 hours finding the best place for their tent, figuring out how to set up the tent and trying to get dinner going.
Brooke, did you see where I put the matches for the fire?
No, I was in charge of the food.
Well, that worked out great. If I can't find them, I'll just walk to the camp store and get a Duraflame and some matches. I saw some there when we checked in.
Okay, but it's getting dark already, and I didn't even see the flashlight.
I have the flashlight. The problem is when I packed it, the switch turned on, and now I'm not sure how much of the charge is left.
An old man strolled over.
You folks gonna be walking around in the dark. Best to avoid Section E now.
What's so bad about Section E after dark?
Well, the name's Jay, and I have a good blaze going already and a fresh pot of coffee. Come on over and I'll tell you.
So, the three headed back to Jay's campfire.
Many years back, Section E was actually a prison camp. One day, a prisoner snuck out in the dead of night and got lost. He was in his prison stripes, and his legs were shackled. He was smart enough to bring a lantern. But soon, his lantern went dark, so he trudged along until the underbrush and trees became too much for him to manage, especially with the ankle chain getting caught on everything. He decided to stop and wait until morning. Then he heard a noise. It was something massive and extremely heavy sliding and pushing through the soil, coming from a distance, slowly but steadily. It started to become a wet sound, like something actually being pulled from the soil and pushed forward in a footstep kind of pattern. The prisoner decided to climb up in a tree for safety. He tied his lantern to a branch and listened. Then it started getting closer. The next morning, the prison guards found the lantern, a few tatters of clothing, and the ankle shackles dangling in the branches. But the prisoner was never found. From that point forward, other prisoners started disappearing from camp, prisoners that weren't even trying to escape. The story was it was some sort of moving tree or group of trees that came in the middle of the night and got them. After losing 10 prisoners, the state had seen enough and was beginning to think the warden was crazy, telling tales of prisoner-munching trees. The camp was soon disbanded, and the warden retired.
Jay was done telling the story.
Wow, how do you know all this?
I was the warden of that prison.
All was quiet for a while.
Wow. There's no moon, and the wind is still. It kind of gives me the creeps.
Sean and Brooke headed back to their campsite and decided they needed to head over to the bathroom before going to sleep.
Say, Brooke, do you remember where the bathroom is?
Yeah, it's straight down this path. About 5 minutes.
They reached the bathrooms, and Sean set the flashlight on a post. When they were done, they started heading back to their campsite. About halfway back, suddenly, the light in the flashlight flickered.
Sean, shouldn't we be near our site by now?
Yes. Well, I don't know. Great. Now the flashlight is out. I can't see anything. Let's just stay on the path and we'll try the flashlight again in a minute.
So they started slowly heading back when suddenly Sean hit his knee.
Ow! Wait a minute. It feels like a sign. Here, let me try the flashlight again.
Sean turned on the flashlight and it flickered slightly, illuminating the sign. The sign said, Section E. Panicked, Sean and Brooke started to run. All of a sudden, the flashlight went dark.
Brooke, stop! I think we better try to figure out where we are. We've been running over leaves and pine cones, and I don't think we're on the trail anymore.
They stood in silence for a few minutes. In the distance, they heard a heavy thumping sound.
Sean, where are we?
Brooke asked in a very scared voice. She sat down and suddenly screamed. She had sat down on an old metal lantern, the kind that the dead prisoner had used when he escaped. Sean grabbed Brooke by the arm and they started running. The sound of a large, wet, heavy object started getting nearer. Sean and Brooke were in full flight, racing through brush and bushes. The sound got larger, huge and heavy, and sounded like it was right behind them. The next morning, Jay was up for his morning coffee and noticed that Sean and Brooke weren't at their side. He proceeded to have breakfast and go horse riding. When he came back later that day, Sean and Brooke still hadn't returned. They were never seen again. All that was found was one tennis shoe, an old lantern, and the still-standing sign that said, Section E.